Girls are made of sugar and spice and everything nice. Boys are made of, well, sometimes it's just too terrible to contemplate. Con and Hal Eagledon are two British brothers, Con a novelist, Hal a theater director, who wrote a best-selling book about what every boy should know. The Dangerous Book for Boys runs the gamut, from how to make a paper airplane, to build a treehouse, to understanding dinosaurs and highlights of military history. The U.S. version has also become a big hit. Just before he went on paternity leave, Scott Simon met Con Eagledon at the Codfish Park workshop in New York to put some of the book's chapters to the test.
But did you have a feeling that boys were just getting a little too devoted to video games?
That was a very strong feeling, yes. I mean, in some ways it was just an attempt to recapture everything we did as kids and everything we wanted sort of to remember when our own children come along, my own son in particular. But yes, there was also, I mean, calling something The Dangerous Book for Boys, putting the word dangerous and the word boys in the title is quite deliberate. It is...
Got me to open it up.
Yeah, well, exactly, but it's partly a reaction against the health and safety culture that's gone as far as it has, but also the sort of fear of parents that, you know, they are, so many of them, terrified to let their kids go out of sight for more than 30 seconds, and they think that it's much safer putting them inside with a PlayStation for 6 hours a day, and the sad irony of that is that it's not healthy and it's not safe.
And not enterprising. What are they?
No, in the long run, stopping a boy in particular taking small risks like falling off monkey bars, falling out of trees, all the rest of it, he doesn't become a sissy. What actually happens is he takes extreme risks on his own, and we've seen that again and again. Boys, if they're left without any sort of real chance to test themselves, they go absolutely berserk on their own and end up really getting hurt instead of trying to get hurt a little bit in a safer environment.
Now, in addition to some of the more obvious or sensational things we're going to try here, let's explain that the book also includes, poems, some very good ones, yep. Kipling and others. It certainly includes history of great battles.
In childhood, I mean, you haven't been told to specialise. You can be, interested in just about anything. And as well as the practical things, we wanted to sort of reflect that wide range. I mean, it's fairly low tech, I have to say. I'm building a go-kart here, and it is fairly low tech because you can't do sort of top electronics when you're 10 years old. But you can do something simple with bulbs and batteries and wires, and that was about the level we wanted. People have said it's an old-fashioned book, but it's not old-fashioned because it's low-tech. It's old-fashioned because it's optimistic. I didn't want to write a sort of cynical postmodern comment sort of thing. I wanted to write something which reflected that time of optimism. Why not?
Now, tell us about what we would call a soapbox racer.
Okay. The point about this is it's incredibly simple. We had one where we were kids. It lasted for about 10 or 15 years.
This is you and your brother?
Yeah. He's about a year and a half younger than me.
Okay.
So usually we spent our childhood fighting, but when we didn't, we would occasionally make things.
Tyler Merson, who owns the workshop, borrowed a few wheels from a couple of hand trucks to make the go-kart and provided wood planks, nuts, bolts, and some curly-cued metal thingies. I think the technical term for them is screws. He cut the wood to the proper length with a power saw that sounded like it could slice a battleship. We began at ground level by securing the wheels.
Yeah, we're just going to put one to lock against the other. I'll leave the first one just a little bit away from the carcass of the wheel because if you get it too close, it'll jam it up.
That's right. Good, right? The wheel's turned.
That's okay.
Now, I'd probably feel more at home in a bauxite mine, a nuclear power plant, or a county jail than I do in a woodworking shop. So I seated the carpenter's table to Con Eagledon.
So the saddle has been put over the axle.
How's that sound?
Got it.
Pretty persuasive.
That was pretty good.
Thank you.
This is certainly going to be strong, this one.
In both of our countries, there's sort of a mentality now where children can't do things, youngsters even, just because they're fun. They have to kind of be learning something in the process. And to be just tiresome about it, you can learn a lot about doing this, right?
Well, of course it's simple skills, but I mean there's also an immense amount of satisfaction to be gained from making just about anything with your hands. My father used to, he is in his 80s, he's still alive, and I've got to stop talking about him in the past tense. He still says that you might not be excellent at something, you might not be an expert, but you can be competent at a bunch of things. I like that. Jack of all trades, master of none, isn't a bad way to go in some ways. Sooner or later, I'm going to have to get some screws. Now, where do they go to?
Putting together a go-kart is a test of precision. The wheels have to be aligned so that they can swivel.
That's the first axle. So, second axle.
Did you find that as you and your brother worked on the book, it brought you together in a whole different way?
Yes. partly through sheer nostalgia and reliving memories. I mean, when we were kids, we used to have something called the Black Cat Club, and there were only two members. It was me and my friend Richard, and my brother was the provisional member who had to complete tasks to become a full member, you know, being the younger one.
And you kept coming up with new tasks?
Oh, yes. Every week, he wasn't quite up to scratch, but we made him try something else. One of them was jumping off the garage roof, which was, you know, about as high as this ceiling.
Yeah, it's about 12 feet up, yeah.
And we, I told him it wouldn't hurt if he said the words, fly like an eagle.
Con Eagleton needed to size the go-kart for a driver who's a 40 regular, not a sixth grader.
The plank I did in the book was 3'6". I mean, it depends on the age of the child, the size of the child, how much growing room. It's you, of course.
The child is me.
Right. You should genuinely sit on it. How are we going to do this? Do you mind putting it on the floor for a second? Okay. Right, we're done. In that case, 5 screws and that's it.
My gosh, Con, that's handsome. So what do I do? Sit on it?
Sit on it and hope it doesn't break. All
right. It didn't so much as wobble, but would it run? We stepped outside into the mean streets of Greenwich Village. Well, mean nowadays if you're talking about the price of a cappuccino, under a cloudy May sky to test drive our lean machine. The go-kart is a superb conveyance for a man like me, a city kid with no driver's license, no pedals, speedometer, turning signals, or global positioning system. A friend just pushes, and you go.
We're on 10th Street, just between
C&D.
And we're about to give this a try.
Yep.
You know, should we name it?
Yes.
What?
The Rooster.
The Rooster. Okay. The Rooster. Okay, now, all right, looking ahead, we got a puddle of water, we got some uneven streets.
There's no checkered flag to come down. Con Eagleton just gets a running start and gives me a shove.
Absolutely, I'm ready, yeah.
All right, yes! Yes! Whoa!
And I'm just out of school, I'm a real, real cool. I got the jump, I got the job, got the message, I'm alive, I'm a wife, I'm a wild one. Ooh, yeah, I'm a wild one.
Scott Simon spoke with Con Eagleton at the Codfish Park Workshop in Manhattan. Con and his brother Hal wrote The Dangerous Book for Boys, published by HarperCollins. Our story was produced by Elaine Heinzman and recorded by Manya Zuba. For tips on how boys should treat girls, read the excerpt at our website, npr.org/books. This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm John Itzty.